You're listening to the AI Ireland podcast. My name is Mark Kelly, the founder of AI Ireland. If you're new to the podcast, AI Ireland's mission is to accelerate the use of AI for the benefit of our society, our competitiveness, and everyone living in Ireland. To achieve this, we run projects of national interest, most notably the Artificial Intelligence Awards, which are occurring on the 23rd of November 2022. We wanted to contribute to a culture of sharing, cooperation, action in the Irish AI ecosystem. I'd like to say a special thank you to our sponsors and principal sponsor Microsoft for their continued support for the Artificial Intelligence Award. Hope you enjoyed the show today, and if you have any recommendations for future guests, please reach out to mark@aiawards.ie. Now on to the show. Hi everybody, it's Mark Kelly here, founder of AI Ireland. I hope you're doing really, really well. It's Monday, it's the start of the week, it's early morning, and I'm speaking with Jimmy Hennessy, Director of Data Science and Engineering at ACI Worldwide. Jimmy, great to have you on the podcast again.
Yeah, good to be here.
Jimmy, you and the team last year were winners of the AI Awards in Large Enterprise. It was a fantastic application. We did a follow-up podcast on that. And this year, you sent across several different applications for this year's awards. Three of them got into the finalist shortlist, but there was also an additional one that didn't quite make it, but I thought it was a fantastic application in itself. I was wondering if we could go through them. But before I jump into the applications that you put forward as a team, would you mind giving me a little bit of an overview of yourself, your role, and people don't necessarily know ACI, what's happening there?
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks, Mark. So I was saying my name is Jimmy Hennessy, Director of Data Science and Engineering here at ACI. It's like ACI is a software company, but it's particularly focused on the fintech industry. So we support 19 of the top 20 banks in the world. We have direct and indirect communication with 80,000 merchants worldwide. We cover everything from payment transactions to fraud to billing. So there's quite a broad spectrum here. I joined myself in 2019, and we built a team up here in Limerick. The core team is in Limerick, though, but we do have people around the world as well. We have people in the US and India as well. So it's been a great journey. It's great to see the team grow. And as you were saying last year, to get an award was kind of like a reinforcement that the team are doing great.
Brilliant, Jimmy. Thank you very much for that overview. So if we look at the first finalist area that you're actually being put forward for, which is responsible use of ethics within AI, could you tell us a little bit about your application, the transparency of that, and how you were very, very conscious of privacy and doing the right thing from the start, particularly how you actually set out that journey?
Absolutely. One of the biggest, I suppose, talking points in machine learning specifically is the black box of the algorithm, what's actually happening behind the scenes, particularly in the fraud space, which we do quite a lot of work. And we found that a lot of the time, the reasons why, say, a model scored the way it scored was a little vague. And I know it's industry standard, and I give you a perfect example. Say we found that a transaction was fraudulent for whatever reason, the model scored highly. Usually you get back what's called a reason code. And a reason code is a generic explanation of why it scored high. And in this case, let's give an example of the email address that you have that was seen in this transaction was of a higher risk than normal. I suppose what we wanted to do is want to say, what does that actually mean? You know, we need to give more information back to our customers, to their clients of why that really happened. The big challenge within machine learning is if you want to do that, it's computationally expensive. And in the payments industry, everything's done in milliseconds, not seconds. So you have to do some compromise. So we felt that when somebody wants to manually review, or if somebody wants to speak more about a particular transaction for any reason, that they now should fall into a separate pipeline to do that extra computational expense to get really detailed of why a model scored the way it scored. And in this case, let's take the same scenario. So our product called Model Explainer, it's kind of does what it says in the tin in a way, is that we can send the same transaction back with the same model back to our scoring engine, but with the flag to say, tell us everything about that score. And what that means is then rather than saying, hey, the email is of a higher kind of like alert than normal, we can tell you that that particular feature that included the email domain had a 25% weighting against the score, but also, you know what I mean, how many times that card was used in the last 24 hours had a 15% weighting towards that score. So you can build a picture up of the features that actually, and how much they contributed to the score. What that does is it opens up, you know, it opens up the complete door on the model. You can 100% prove there's no bias. You know what I mean? It's not geared in any particular way. You can see then, and you can analyze at a large scale all the weightings of all the features, and you can show and be transparent to your clients that the model is behaving in a non-biased way. It's really lifting up and telling you why we scored the way we scored. So I hope that's kind of different.
Yeah, that's really helpful. So you're showing the steps to how you made your decision. Mm-hmm. And if people want any more background, the background is really, really clear. And you base 100%. It on the weightings throughout the different transactions. So there's a mm-hmm. really clear picture. This is how that decision is being made, rather than you don't quite know. And you're leaving that there. So that's very consistent. It also allows people to check back whenever they need to check back. And there's a paper trail, and it's really clear. And it's a mm-hmm. nice way to have that as a foundation to go, right, we're going to do this the right way. And also it's going to save us a lot of time and effort in the long run.
100%. And particularly in the industry that we're in, audits and regulatory and regulatory processes are very important. Another thing to note here is that our platform is getting fully version controlled. So for instance, if you wanted to play back a model explainer for like 6 months ago, and we've changed the model 3 or 4 times since then, we can roll back and we can actually execute it on the model that was live at the time the transaction occurred. You know, so it's like a moment in time. So from a transparency perspective, we're not kind of running this on a newer model. It'll be run at the same model that was run at the time the original transaction was processed. So it's full transparency.
Brilliant.
Hosted by AI Ireland in conjunction with principal sponsor Microsoft, the 4th annual AI Awards is taking place on the 23rd of November 2022. This is a morning to afternoon event with a smart casual dress code. You'll have the opportunity to connect with some of the finest minds and organisations in the Irish artificial intelligence community. The ceremony draws a large audience of the AI community, data scientists, research engineers, technology CEOs and some exceptional guests, and of course the awards finalists themselves. To attend on the day, please head over to eventbrite.com/AI Awards or on the AI Ireland website, where you'll find the tickets page. Our predictive AI model clearly indicates that you cannot afford to miss this event. Act now.
So if we move on to the next application that you put forward for a project, that was also excellent, which was automatically writing unit test cases to productionize software solutions faster. Can you tell us a little bit more about this? Because I personally found this to be a fascinating project.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the problem type is that for every engineering team out there, I suppose one of the things that is, it can be painful at times is the unit testing, the regression testing, and the time it takes to do that. And another thing, if you're in a large company, the consistency of that testing across all your products. So we put ourselves to the challenge in the back of the wind last year, you know, with incremental learning, we wanted to put ourselves to the challenge again and all around how we can get an AI to write code. And that was the big challenge. And then how can we make it write code in a meaningful way that could actually look at a code repository and infer the unit testing, and not basic unit tests, as in infer proper standards, well-written unit tests, taking in all the best practices. So again, though it was being used for that purpose, the actual problem type is getting AI to recognize language. It's getting it to recognize how somebody writes unit tests. That is the key part of this. And the second part is, how do you get a data set that you can train a model to become proficient in identifying different portions of code? So we took a mechanical approach to it first to get a foundation. We wrote code to be able to identify functions, classes, data connections across all the standard engineering practices that you do. When we did that, we tested it across a lot of our repos across the company to see if it's robust enough. And it did, it held up. So that brought us on to our second phase, which is, how do you get a machine learning algorithm to actually make sense of all of this? And we've had really, really good success with it. We focused on Java first, but the whole key of us that would need it to be language, not language specific. It had to more infer the behavior around the unit test rather than the specifics of the syntax of the language. So what does somebody do when they want to test a specific class? What happens if there's a data component to that class? How do we do a mock repository? How do we create interfaces? And they're complex problems. Net result is we've got really a lot of success with that. We have somebody full time. It's a very important project to us. We have maybe two people working on it all the time, but we have one dedicated resource fully on it all the time. It's got huge backing from our senior leadership team as well, which helps in anything with this. But the key is that there is, if you Google out there into Google now, there's some technology out there that can write code. But what we found is very specific or niche to a use case. If you kind of wave off a different pad, it gets confused. So if you're giving it what it likes, it'll do what it says in the tin. But if you veer off, it gets a bit fuzzy. And that was the challenge. Could we build something robust enough that, if I was to write a unit test and you were to write a unit test, we'd probably write it slightly differently, even though we're getting to the same concept. How does an algorithm, a machine learning algorithm, recognize it, that what we were trying to do? So it's a really interesting one. And look, full transparency here, there's a huge cost saving to this as well, because you can run it on your repos, there's consistency. Our security and compliance departments will like it because it's consistent and standardized. So yeah, so it's been a good success in a relatively short period of time. A very good success.
Yeah, so it's great that you actually got to a certain point last year. You said, how do we continue to get better? How do we evolve? What problem do we want to look to try to solve? And you got something that is robust, is been able to take it to different types of contexts rather than being too specific on terms of a case study that you're working on, and then you're being able to save money on cost savings as well. So there's huge opportunity now with senior leaders backing it to scale this and roll it out. So for me personally, I thought it was a really, really nice project as well. Tell us a little bit about Young Person and AI Person of the Year that you've also been nominated for, which is really, really great to see.
It was really, really great actually to be shortlisted for this award. One of the passions that we have as a data science team is automation, that full stack data science team. And James Brosnan joined our team last year, and a very passionate young lad who's come into the industry full of energy. And it was great to see that portion of his work about, yes, I can do the modeling and algorithm, but let's talk about optimizing the MLOps piece, the automation side. How do we productionize our models? And he has really took it under his wing. He's really done really well with that. And it's great to see that being recognized by other people in the industry, recognizing him and shortlisting for the award. So I think it's great for him. It's great to see a young person coming into the industry and be recognized in that way. And he really loves what he does. You can see it. He's completely passionate about what he does. So it was really great. And the other thing that is highly important here as well, he's in such a short period of time, he's contributing so much to the team, and to deliverables. So it was really great to see he's been recognized in that way.
That's brilliant. Yeah, particularly he was showing what can be done with limited experience coming into a commercial environment and being enthusiastic and working with the team to try to push it forward, the problems you're looking to solve. And then AI Person of the Year, tell us a little bit more about this.
Yeah, so Nabanita, it's great to see her be nominated in this award as well. She's been with us for a good few years now. And again, one of the data scientists that's been working on that unit testing project as well as a portion. So it's, Nabanita is an advocate for data science. You can see her even outside of industry. She is very active with Women in AI in the Ireland, but even abroad. She has blogged on towardsdatascience.com. She's been speaking on PyCon around the world. She is very a great spokesperson for data science and the team. So again, it's great to see that being rewarded. Hughley, very important person in the team, very influential and a mentor. So yeah, Lebanita was able to bring her experience, and that knowledge and her confidence, I suppose, being able to speak you know what I mean, to a wider audience, spread that passion is great. And the team definitely gets the benefit from that.
Yeah, it's really exciting times. So the 23rd of November, have the three opportunities to go for goals. So I'm wishing you and the team very, very best of luck. And thank you so much, Jimmy, for sharing your insights today and some of the projects that you've been involved in and the team has been involved in. And we wish you the very, very best of luck in that.
Thanks a million. Thanks for the time. Yeah, really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the AI Ireland podcast. My name is Mark Kelly, founder of AI Ireland, and today I've been speaking with Jimmy Hennessy. Jimmy is Director of Data Science and Software Engineering at ACI Worldwide. Thanks again, Jimmy.
Thanks.
Membership of AI Ireland places your organization at the center of the fastest growing technology sector in the world today. As a member, you'll have access to our diverse and highly engaged professional community, which is committed to driving artificial intelligence forward in Ireland. Membership of AI Ireland is for any organization employing data and analytics. We offer memberships to corporate, government and SME organizations. Interested to find out more? Contact mark@aiawards.ie.